Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to talk about chance and whether there's chance in life. A lot of people, and we've talked about this before, have that saying in the world, you know, all things happen for a reason.
Right.
And if there's one saying, there's a number of sayings I don't like, and that's one of them. Anytime, and Christians say that all the time, but anytime a Christian is repeating a phrase that the heathen say, that unsaved are saying, and trusting, you might want to step back and think about what you're saying, because not too many things we believe are going to be in agreement with the unsaved. And that's one saying that seems to encompass all religions and all people everywhere, is that all things happen for a reason. And when you step back and think about that phrase, it's saying that there's some force out there, whether you call it God or whatever you want to call it, that is in charge of everything and that is causing everything to happen. And we hear this phrase used, you know, if someone doesn't win American Idol on TV. Well, you know, all things happen for a reason. There must be something different or better for me out there. Like that God or some force caused that person to lose that event because there's some other path in life they're supposed to follow. And it's just ridiculous. When you think about it, in essence, it's saying you really don't have any free will in life because your path is already dictated. Your path, your future is already set in stone, and that force is going to cause you to move down that path whether you like it or not. And so it eliminates free choice. And that just is not biblical. The Bible is teaches that man has free will. We have free choice. God, in the very beginning, when God told Adam not to eat of that tree, that tells you Adam had free choice. God's not going to tell Adam not to do something if Adam really didn't have free choice. It would be wrong. It would be not a correct relationship with the creature God just created. We have free choice. And free choice means that your future is not set in stone. Your future is still open for you to follow any path you decide to follow. And some people are going to say, well, hey, you know, well, now you're limiting God. You know, my God is strong enough to dictate everything. Well, yes, he is, but God has chosen not to dictate everything in life. He has chosen to create a universe and then let it run on its own. And that might go against a lot of what Christians think, but that's how God is operating. God has created a creation. It doesn't mean he doesn't interact with it, but he's not interacting with it on the minute detail that a lot of Christians and unsaved believe. He's not picking, you know, what kind of clothes you have to wear today. He's not picking, you know, where you're gonna drive your car. And then we can extrapolate that. He's not picking what kind of job you're gonna get. There are a lot of Christians that pray to God to show them what work field to go into. God's left a lot of these choices for us to make. God gives us a job. We have a vocation, and that's an ambassador for Christ. When you get saved, all Christians get the same job. It's a spiritual job. You're an ambassador for Christ. Mm-hmm. And as an ambassador for Christ, we're to bring God's love, grace, and mercy to the unsaved around us and live a life that exemplifies that. Now, you can do that whether you're a fireman, you can do that whether you're a salesman, you can do that whether you're a mechanic. It doesn't matter what kind of earthly job you have. We all have the same spiritual job. And so just because God has left these choices for us doesn't mean he's not interested. He is. But he's left these choices for us to make. We can take that further, and you know, God's not causing accidents to happen in your life. You know, he's not going to cause you to get sick if you do, because we know that sin runs rampant in this creation, and sin brings sickness and death, and we're all going to succumb to something one day, and God has left that to be the way it is. When God cursed creation, that's when he did it. He cursed creation because of sin, and because of that curse, we're all going to die one day of something, whether it's being hit by a truck, whether it's by cancer, pneumonia, whatever, you know, everybody's scared of the Ebola thing. It doesn't matter what it is, it's going to kill us all. And that's how God's operating today. It's not, he's not picking and choosing, you know, you're going to, you know, get killed today and you're going to let you live another day and then I'm going to, you know, bring cancer into your life. You know, he's not minutely handling every single detail of his creation. He's allowed free choice, and it's sort of like he wound it up and then he let it go, and we procreate and move through this universe that he's created. And but God is doing a lot of things, but he's not doing these physical things that so many Christians have fallen into the trap. Even in the Old Testament, when God was working physically with the Jews, and God was more involved with the Jewish nation, and he had given them the law, and the law talked about the rain coming and God withholding his rain and blessings and curses. Even underneath that atmosphere, God was not working in the minute details of those Jewish people's lives. When God said to the Jews, go into the land and possess it, when he told them, when Joshua invaded the land after they came out of Egypt, God wasn't telling the Jews, you know, he said, if you read back then, this is your portion for Judah. This is your portion for the tribe of Dan. This is your portion for, you know, the Levites can live out here. He left it up to them then to go into that portion and decide what little piece of ground they wanted. We have Christians today driving around hoping God opens their eyes to a house that he wants for them. He wasn't even doing that for the Jews. And yet Christians today drive around and pray, oh, God, lead us into the house you would want us to have. No, he gives us instruction on what kind of houses to look for, in the sense that, you know, for your financial stability. But he leaves those choices up to us.
Be thankful that you can live there.
Yes, exactly. But he hasn't picked out a certain house. And we can extrapolate this even further into your marriage. God's not picking and choosing who you marry. Christians today, you know, we've met them before. Oh, I'm waiting for God to bring someone into my life. I love that Christian Mingle commercial. They got it so right. It's like, I can't even quote the end of it now, but it's like they show you and they want Christians to sign up. And the reason they do is, I'm sure you pay to be on that, which is fine. It's a money-making endeavor, which is, I don't have a problem with. But at the end they say, you know, sometimes we wait for God to do things, and sometimes does anybody here know how that saying goes at the end? Oh, they get it right though. They make it sound like you gotta take the first step. And that's so true. Christians, we think, you know, God's got that perfect person for us out there. He doesn't. He gives us instructions on who to look for and what kind of person to look for. And he expects us to take those instructions and then hold them up to the person we're interested in and see if they meet those qualifications. And if they do, well, then you can marry them. And but these choices are ours. So many Christians, they're thinking so wrong about everything. And they're putting everything on God when God has said, hey, these are your decisions. And there's some reasons I think Christians do that. One is it alleviates any responsibility of poor decision making on their own part. Mm-hmm. They take a job and they get fired at it. And they say, well, God must have wanted me to. No, maybe it was you just did a poor job there and you couldn't handle it. Or, you know, there's other extenuating circumstances that came into play. You know, no. God expects us to be responsible adults and make our own good decisions and good choices, and don't hide behind something that's not true because you don't want to take responsibility. If you go do something that's good or bad and the outcomes happen, it's because of your choices, not because God has dictated something to happen. And this is so important for us to understand, because this will change how you view life. So many Christians are just floating through, thinking God's going to take care of everything for them, and he's not. Oh, God will bring, you know, they need some money. Oh, God will bring the money in. How? That doesn't happen. God, yes, money does come in, you know, through ministry-wise from the saints around you, mm-hmm. but God's not going to reach into to pockets and pull out, you know, $100 bills and send them in. God's not going to, you know, if you're struggling to pay your bills right now, don't expect God to, you know, send you a check. You know, I mean, yeah, we're all waiting, you know. I mean, it's sort of sad. You know, sometimes Christians will be like, well, you know, I needed to pay these bills, but then, you know, Aunt Harriet died and she left me an inheritance and it just sort of happened. I got my inheritance check and I was able to pay the mortgage and the food bill. How wonderful. Well, when you think about, well, did God kill Aunt Harriet so he could give you her money? I mean, it's just insane what Christians do. And we don't want to fall into that trap. We want to be strong Christians. Because I'll tell you, when you fall into that trap of God's doing everything, there's a lot of bad things that happen in life. And you're going to be forced to blame God for those bad things. Mm-hmm. And when you start blaming God for the bad things, you're going to start to get angry with God. And you're going to start to get depressed. And you're going to start to wonder why. And there are a lot of Christians who, when they start to do that, they leave Christianity, they leave the Bible, because they're frustrated that it's not working according to how they were taught, and nothing's working right, and they leave and they get down and they get discouraged. And you can't blame them. Because I'll tell you, life does not work right. Life is not a bed of roses. Life is hard. The scriptures tell us we live in an evil world. The world is evil. It sets things up to entice you, and then it destroys you and takes everything it can from you. And you see these actors from Hollywood. They get into the limelight and they think their life is so wonderful, and they go out there and they become huge stars, and before you know it, a year or two later, they're alcoholics, they're drug addicted. It's just terrible. You know, it sucked them in, and then it ruined their soul, and it destroyed them. And that's what life does, and life wants to do that to all of us. So it's hard. So the problem is, with the everything happens for a reason, is that a lot of people end up discouraged or hating God because they don't know why things are happening. And then you get the pastors that say, well, if you don't know why, well, we'll know why in the by and by. We'll know why when we get to heaven, and we can add, and then when we get to heaven, we'll see the greater picture of everything. No, that's just covering up the fact that you don't know why. God never leaves us with wondering why. Paul constantly tells us in the scriptures to know, do not be ignorant, knowing the will of the Lord. When you get pastors that say, well, you don't know the will of God, we don't know it, that's so ungodly. It's so un-Pauline. Paul tells us to know the will of God, and we can know it. Now, God's will does not extend into what house you have and what job you have, but God's will does extend into how you carry yourself, what you think about, your inner man, your spiritual man. That's where he's working today. And it's how you think, exactly. It's conforming yourself into the image of him. That's where God's will is at. God's will is that he's given us the freedom to make choices in life. That's part of God's will. God's will is that he's given the single girls the ability to choose what man they want to marry. God's will is that he's given all of us the ability to choose what career path to go into. That's God's will. And we need to accept it. And when you do, you'll find that you'll be a far more stable pillar for the truth and a much better ambassador for Christ when you understand these things. And unfortunately, 99.9% of Christendom is confused on this. They are wrong on this. What they teach hurts Christian life and Christian walk. And one reason why there's so few people here is because most people want the goody feeling type God, and most people want their pastors to tell them, you know, God's got a plan for you. And that's all a lie, though. It doesn't work. And a lot of us have been there, or we've dealt with people that have been there. I've dealt with several people that have been through the whole religious, you know, circus, and they've come out and they're destroyed, and it's just awful. So when we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 here, he's going to talk about free will in a sense. He's going to talk about chance and how the world is operating. And this is something we need to know. And we've already, in chapter 9, verse 2, we went over this a little bit last week. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean. There's all things come alike to all. We all are going through life, whether you're righteous or unsaved. And life happens to everybody. And there's no one that escapes the ups and downs of life. When we went through, turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 3 in Ecclesiastes 3. When we went through this, he talked about these are the things in life. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time... These are the things in life that happen to everybody. Saved and unsaved. Verse 7. Time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. You keep going. It's just those are the things that happen to everybody. They all come alike to the unsaved and to the righteous. God's teaching us here in Ecclesiastes that we're going through life all together. Okay? There's nobody in life that escapes the bad things or the good things. Everybody goes and experiences life the same. Now, some of us have higher degrees or lower degrees of certain things, but we all experience the same things. We will all experience love, hate, joy, happiness, laughter, the emotions that man, that guy is putting in. We all experience them. We experience the ups and downs of life. And that's what he's telling us, verse 2. All things come alike to all in chapter 9. The events happen to everybody. And that should start to help us realize, hey, God's not insulating the Christian from life. He's not building walls of protection around us. We're going to experience it just like the unsaved experienced it. And so chapter 9, let's drop down to verse 11. And I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. To me, that's one of the most important verses on how God left His universe operate, is right here. There's time and chance. Chance is huge in... there's a spider on the table. You guys get it? Okay. Well, anyway. Okay, good. Well, anyway.
I would have made that same noise as a spider.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Spiders are fine. Well, anyway, time and chance happen to everybody. And this is really important to understand, is that God, when He created the universe, He instilled chance. Now, what does chance mean? Chance means something may or may not happen. Chance means God is not deciding the outcome. That's what it is. And notice here, God does not call it luck. God does not use the word luck. Luck is a term that the world uses. We'll talk about luck for just a second here. When you say good luck, luck invokes something like there's a force out there that's going to help you do something, is what luck is. And the heathen talk about luck. And sometimes we even say, oh, good luck today. And what that is saying, like there's some force out there, God or whatever you want to call it, that could maybe help you and bring you good fortune. And the Bible does not use luck. The Bible uses the word chance. And as a Christian, I've tried to catch myself not to use the word luck. I still use it sometimes. And when you actually realize what it is insinuating, it's insinuating that there's some force out there that's going to help you. And that's not how God designed the world. He calls it chance. We would say chance is in my favor, or good chance would be a better thing to say than good luck. Now, I know it becomes ingrained in us and we say it and blah, 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 which is fine. But in my, you know, in thinking about it, it'll help you understand there is no such thing as luck. There's no good luck. There's no bad luck, because there just isn't any of that. You don't have a lucky day. You know, they got the lucky lottery or the lucky lotto, whatever, in Illinois. But there is no such thing as luck. But there is such thing as chance. Chance is something that is completely, there's no external force on the event. It is just going to happen the way it happens. There's a, you see the difference between chance and luck? Chance is completely removed from any external godly urethral force causing something to happen. Luck, on the other hand, is insinuating there's some type of force that's external that's going to come into play. So the Bible uses the word chance. And in verse 11, Solomon returns and he saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Sometimes we see this all the time. Runners run, and the man that should win, or woman, doesn't always win. They stumble. We saw a race once at one of the events we were at where Sarah was running, and this kid's running, and he was in the lead, and all of a sudden his hamstring, I think, cracked, or they don't crack, they pull or ripped, and he grabs his leg and he stumbles and he didn't even make it to the finish line, and the guy behind him ended up winning. And it was a very painful thing to watch. Just this guy was laying on the ground, and it was not the best thing to see. But, you know, he should have won, but he didn't, because chance happened. He ripped his hamstring. And that should help us, you know, for that kid on the ground, you know, when he gets up and gets his senses about him later, he should not be saying, oh, God caused that, my hamstring. God didn't want me to win today. No, it's called chance. You don't blame God for you not winning. But the race is not over to the swiftest. That's an important concept. You could practice, you should win, and we've all been seeing sporting events, we've seen football games where one football team really on paper should win, and then what happens? They lose. There was a year the New England Patriots were like 16-0, and they made it to the Super Bowl, or they were, I don't know, I think they may have lost once, but they should have won the Super Bowl, and they didn't. And it's just how life happens, and Solomon is teaching us, it's just how life happens. Nor the battle to the strong. Sometimes, just, you know, in war, you got two enemies fighting, and the strongest one should win, and it doesn't. And you see it in boxing, you see it in wrestling, and you see it in different sports where just the strongest person should win. You see it in the Rocky movies, where you have Rocky, and he shouldn't win, but he does. He beat Mr. T up, who was much stronger and bigger than him. But we need to learn these things, because so many times Christians just, it's like they take their head and they just put it on the seat next to them, and they just operate by feelings, and they're just, everything's in God's hands. No, we're being taught, and these truths, yes, they're in the book of Ecclesiastes, yes, they're in the Old Testament, but there's a lot of interdispensational truths that run from dispensation to dispensation, and one of those truths is free will. In every dispensation, people have to make choices. In every dispensation, there's chance. There's chance that these things can happen, because chance has to come with free will. Without free will, you don't have chance. Without chance, you don't have free will. It's just how it has to be. They go hand in hand. And so these truths are true today, tomorrow, yesterday. So the race is not to the swift. If you lose in your running race, or we were watching somebody swim on the internet the other day, and it's, you know, they did good and everything, and you know, whether you win or lose, it's up to you. And sometimes you swim better, and sometimes you swim worse. It depends on the day. The same thing with the battle. Neither yet bread to the wise. You know, rich people, smart people don't always become wealthy. There's a lot of poor, smart people out there. There's a lot of people that have great ideas that never make a dime off their inventions, that other people steal from them, other people take their material, and then they make the money off of it. That happens a lot in life. And it's just how life is. And as Christians, we want to go through life solid. We need to understand this, that there's chance. Sometimes things don't happen the way they should. Nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. I mean, he's covering all aspects of life. from the athletic field to the industrial field. Sometimes life isn't fair. And life isn't fair. The man that should, you know, make the money doesn't. The man that should win the race doesn't. Life's not fair. And I say that a lot. I say that pretty much almost every day to people. You know, life's not fair. Get used to it. You didn't make the rules, but this is the rules we live within. Life isn't fair. Sometimes things work out. Sometimes they don't. Chance happens. It's just how it is. I don't blame God. If you got a business and it's failing, it's not because God's making it fail. If you got a business that's succeeding, it's not because God's making it succeed. God's built into the universe mechanisms whereby He allows us to do what we can, and then we get affected by everything else around us. And sometimes those effects are good, and sometimes those effects are bad. And we rise and fall on that. And so, don't blame God. These are the rules. And when you learn this, it should really help you. I mean, seriously, if you guys were to go ask your friends and stuff, most of them are going to say, oh, everything's in God's hands. And your Christian friends are going to say the same thing, and it's not true. It's not true. Things just happen. But at the end of verse 11, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Everybody gets affected by time and chance. Those are the two big indicators. You know, sometimes you could work out and get all ready for something. I remember when Luke was wrestling, or Sarah when she runs and she's got a big meet coming up, and we try and keep them healthy, and we don't want them going out, and we try and not have them be around sick people, and we try and protect them because sometimes if they do get sick when they need to do their best, and then they can't. That's just time and chance. But we do things to try and help these things happen. We do things to try and put things more in our favor. We do things to try and increase our odds of chance, and there's nothing wrong with that. But time and chance happen to everybody. They're going to happen to me. They're going to happen to you. It happens to everybody. Life, like we have said, life is not fair. But life is not predetermined, it's not dictated, it's not laid out in stone. There's the ability for fluctuations, there's the ability for anything to happen. And on one hand, this is pretty good, because let me tell you something. Let's say you're going into a race, as a swim race, and you know you're not the fastest guy. Well, you know what? There's still a chance you could win, because the scriptures say there is. You never know. The guy ahead of you could, you know, break his arm as he's doing the twirl in front of you, and then you win. You know, like that, I told you that guy we saw who pulled up with his hamstring. I mean, there's always a chance to win. So, in essence, it's actually, it's nice because it leaves the future as a variable. You don't know. Now, talking about the future, and we'll correlate this, you know, God does know everything. We understand. I'm not saying God does not know the future. God does know the future. He knows the past, present, and future. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Now, just because God knows the future does not mean God caused that future to happen. There's a big difference between the two. Just because if I were to know the score of the football game this afternoon, that doesn't mean I'm causing that football game that score to happen. I'm not manipulating the players to cause that score. You see the difference there? There's a big difference between knowledge and causing things to happen. God knows the future. But just because He knows it doesn't mean He is causing it to happen. God knows, what's going to happen, you know, in your test or in the race. Or God, let's say God knows what's going to happen in the race because He's been there. The way, you know, I don't want to get into how God works and eternity and how that plays in. God calls Himself, He is the I Am. And to God, everything is present. It's mind-boggling, but to Him, everything is now. It's just how He is. He's just everything is with God. He lives in a different plane. He lives in eternity. In eternity, everything just is. And it's weird for us to try and think that way, but it's just how it is. But just because he knows who's going to win the race this afternoon or a football game this afternoon or whatever, doesn't mean he's picked a team to win. There's a big difference between the two. So yes, God does know all things. But on the other hand, he's left us as we go through life, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He's not telling me. And so therefore, as I go through life, I'm going through the world that he created with the rules that he put in place in this, and one of the rules is chance. And as I go through this, I have chances to win, I have chances to lose. But I want to take those chances, and that's how life is. So hopefully we understand, and it happens to everybody. But time and chance happen to them all. So if you're running a race and you should win and you lose, don't blame God. Just say, it just wasn't your day. Don't say it wasn't meant to be, because nothing is ever meant to be. It's time and chance.
And practice more than me.
Yes, it was. Sometimes they did practice. Sometimes you practice more than them and you still lose. I knew a guy who was in wrestling. He was very good. He could go out till 2-3 in the morning and goof around, and he'd show up the next day and win a national title. And the other kid he was going against was, you know, in bed early, practice for hours and hours. But the kid that just stayed up really, he just had more athleticism. And he could goof around, and it's just something that looks at it and you're just like, oh, that doesn't make sense, but it's just how it is. And so sometimes you can practice all you want, you're never going to be as good as somebody that's just, you know, has more athleticism than you. It's called time and chance. And, you know, LeBron James, he just got born with a better body. God didn't design LeBron James' body to play basketball so LeBron can be this great basketball. He just, that's the body he got. I didn't get a LeBron James body. I can't dunk. I can't run like that. I can't do much of that, which is just fine. I came to grips with that a long time ago. I was born into a body that wasn't, you know, Mr. Athletic, super muscular build, you know, type guy, which is just fine. But I don't blame God for that. I don't say, God, why you give me this skinny little body? And it's just time and chance. Now, when I get to heaven, there's a different body coming, and then I'll take on LeBron James if he's in heaven in basketball. I hope he is. I don't know what he believes, but I'm just saying, things change when we get to heaven. But for now, the body you have is the body you have, and God didn't give you that body. That's the body that you just got by chance.
Yes.
And just how it is, exactly. And some of us, you know, it's just how it is. And we don't blame God for the things that happen to this body. And we don't blame God for the things that we can and cannot do. It's just what it is. So anyway, time and chance happeneth to them all. Verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time. Now time is important. We'll talk, as fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. There is time in life. And what he's talking about, he goes, there's fish that are caught in a net. How a net works, this fisherman will drop a net down to the bottom, and fish are swimming over it. And then when the fishermen come, they pull up the corners of the net, and as the net comes, it traps the fish that are above it. And the fish have no idea what's coming because they can't see the net coming up for them. And you could be a Mr. Fish floating in the sea, going back and forth over that net, and nothing ever happens. But then when the net is raised, you could just by chance be in that spot of the ocean when the net comes up and you're trapped in it, and you're killed and you become my Long John Silver's meal. And it's just chance. But there was a time when the net was... it was fine to swim, and then there was another time where it was dangerous to swim, and the fish got caught, and it didn't even know it was caught until it was too late. Do you understand that? And that's what he's saying here. There's times in life where we could be going through, and then things change like that. We could see this with Germany, with Hitler. Germany was not peaceful, but it was a country. Jews could live there, interact with society, and then within a few short years, 10 or 15 years, when Hitler came to power, things changed overnight. And it, for one day, it was safe to be a Jew in Germany. The next day, they were hunting you down, trying to kill you. It was just time. It was an evil time, and there were thousands of Jews caught in that evil time. Now, God did not design Hitler. God did not bring Hitler to power. That is what we call an evil time. And that's exactly what Ecclesiastes is saying. There are times when it's evil. Our country is changing. Our country is evolving. Sometimes we have the ability to see into the future and to see times change. Sometimes you don't. And some Jews got out of Germany. Very, very few had the ability to. And even if you wanted to get out, you couldn't, because not many places would take you. But our country is changing the same way too. It's becoming harder and harder to be a Christian. Our culture and our governments are changing where they're coming. I truly believe Christians are more persecuted right now in this country than any time in the past and around the world. You probably saw things in Iraq where Christians are, have you probably seen the videos, I don't know if you have or not, where they're lining Christians up and shooting them in the head. And they're posting these things on YouTube. And by the thousands, they're just destroying Christians. And it's just so sad what's happening around the world. The persecution that's coming is going to be so alarming and so awful. But there's an evil time coming. But these things have happened throughout history. In England in the 1500s, there were times when you could be a Bible believer and carry your Bible, and then there were times when you couldn't be, and they'd burn you at the stake. We don't have control of that all the time, of the times you're living in. And sometimes these things change overnight. You could be here dealing, and then, like in Spain, there was a time when it was okay to be a Jew, and then the Jewish monarch made a rule that all Jews had to be out of the country within 3 days, and if you weren't, they were going to kill you. Wow, how awful. You have 3 days to leave the country. You can't sell anything. You just have to try and get out. And there were lots of, they couldn't. And lots of them were murdered. It was just awful what happened. And this has happened to the Jews around the world. It's happened to other cultures too. It just we just talk more about the Jews more because they're you know, it's a Bible study and they're sort of God's people in a sense for that. But times come and times change, and a lot of times we don't even know it's coming. We're just going through life thinking everything's fine, and then whammo. Things can change very, very quickly. You just look at what happened in Iraq or Syria, where you had sort of these people were living in towns and stuff, and then within days, just completely changed. Their whole lives are upside down. And that can happen here. It happens around the world. And so don't blame God. God's telling us in verse 12, "For man also knoweth not his time." We all don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, you know, fishes just swimming out there, and then one day it's just caught and it didn't know it. And as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Bam! Life can change. People, they say, oh, well, a lot of things have to happen for the tribulation to come. You know, it talks about these 10 nations and these, you know, kings and little kings and whatever. I'm telling you, life can change in days. The world governments can change in days. Country boundaries can change in days. The Bible says things can change suddenly. And so we need to be prepared for these changes. And we need to understand these changes can, and, you know, I hope, you know, we don't have an evil time for us. I hope it's future. And I look at you kids and I hope that bad things don't happen for another generation or two. Those are my hopes. And that, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, I'm over the hill, as I was told a few years ago, mm-hmm. and going down faster every day, and gonna do a crash and burn soon. Don't know when. But I hope for you guys the times don't change completely evil. I'm
still going up the hill,
sir. I'm still going up the hill. Oh, good. Yes, yes, I know. Well, you know where I'm going down. You're just ahead of me. You're further down it than I am. And but we don't know when things are going to change, but we want to be prepared for them. So these things are really important for us to know, that God has left the world to run on its own. But it doesn't mean He has left the world without Him. He is here. He is interacting with us. But it's not in the area a lot of Christians look for. God is interacting with us in our inner man. He's interacting. He's trying to save us. First, He tries to save us. We know that passage in, was it 2 Timothy? For it is God's will that all men be saved. God has a will. He wants all men to be saved. He's saving us from this evil world. Second, once we're saved, we have a relationship with God, and He works with us through our spirit.
That's the end of that verse. Go on to a knowledge of the truth.
Exactly. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6 for a minute here. And God is in the world. He's not only left chance, but He's also, there's some laws out there. And one of them is the law of the harvest. Verse 7, Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 7, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. There's free choice right there in that verse. Whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever. That's whatever you want to do. God's saying whatever you want to do, you will reap some consequences of that. You see that? That's free choice. When he's, whatsoever. He's not saying I've decided. No, He's giving you free choice. He's saying whatever you sow. I planted a garden this year. I planted, you know, cucumber seeds. You know what I'm getting? Cucumbers. I planted green bean seeds. I'm getting green beans. Green beans do not grow tomatoes. Whatever you plant, you get what you plant. God's saying, whatever you plant, you will get. That's one of the rules in society. God is not dictating what you're going to plant. He's just saying, whatever you decide to plant, you will reap. And verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. If you live a fleshly life, and you live after outside of this Bible, you're going to reap problems. This is a law God built into His universe. If you do things that are outside of Scripture, you're going to have more problems than you would have if you didn't. If you do drugs, if you choose to do drugs, there are greater chances and probabilities that something bad's going to happen to you. It's just the law of nature. If you decide to be an angry person and you're going to be angry all the time, well, you will have more problems in life than if you weren't. If you decide to be a hateful person or a grudging person, you will have more problems in life than if you weren't. That's just the law of the harvest. So there's this law out there God put in. You get to choose what you want to do, but there's going to be consequences for that. All right, but God is still doing things in this life. Go turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. No, verse 9. Just because God has left chance and time and the law of the harvest to operate within this world does not mean He's not doing things. We've already saw where it's His will to save people, and then He tells us in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That verse tells us we should know God's will to its fullest understanding. If a pastor tells you, well, we don't know the will of God and we'll know it in the by and by, you know what you tell him? You're wrong. You should know what God's will is. Okay? And we just went through a lot of it. God's will is that you have free choice. God has willed that you have free choice to choose what person you will marry and what job you can have. That's part of His will. But His will is also that you grow spiritually and you understand these things. that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God's will is that you walk worthy unto the Lord, that you don't walk in the darkened mind of the Gentiles. That's God's will. People are always, Christians are always, oh, what's God's will for my life? Well, there's some things right there. That, you know, if you follow that little bit, that you walk worthy unto the Lord and to all pleasing, that probably handle about 99% of your life. Okay? If you're swearing, if you're cheating at work, if you're stealing, if you're doing anything bad, that part right there will handle that a majority of your life. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. You see, God is working today. He's strengthening us with all might. Where? In our spiritual man. That's what God's doing today. He's not dictating what kind of parking spot you find. I remember a story of a guy driving around Chicago praying to God for a parking spot to open up. I mean, I think there's a lot of Christians that do that when they go shopping during Christmas and they say, oh God, just give me a park spot closer to the door. No, Christians are crazy. No, don't do that. God is still working today. He's working with all might. You see that? Do you know what all the might of God is? That's a lot of might.
Yeah.
That's all. Everything He has is going into your inner man. You say, oh, you know, all my friends want to do this. How do I not do it? Well, God gives you the strength to say no. You know, the ability to say no comes from God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. God's power is shown. When you take a person that used to be drug addicted and now they're not, and they attribute that to the Lord and their new creature and their walk with Him, that takes power. That takes God's glorious might. That brings glory to God. That's where God's working today. He's working in your inner man to help you get through life in a way that's pleasing unto Him. You want to overcome addictions. You want to overcome issues in your life. You look to Him and He will help you with that. He will work with you right here inside. And He works with you to all patience, long-suffering, with what? Joyfulness. You know, when you lose your race, you can still be joyful. You know, when you don't make the big business deal and your business is crumbling, you can still be joyful because you know why? You know God's not causing it. It's the world you live in, and yet God has given you enough information and enough strength inside for you to rise above the physical circumstances so you could still be joyful no matter what. That's how it works. And so God is working today. He's just not working in the area that most Christians think He is. He's not going to give you that.
With understanding what's going on.
Yes.
It says in all wisdom and spiritual
understanding. It all comes with understanding what's going on.
By knowing who you are.
Exactly. You have to know what God is and is not doing.
And how do you do that?
And we'll get, yes. And you have to know these things.
Right.
If you don't know them, you're going to go through life a confused Christian. Yeah. And you're going to miss out on the joy. You're going to miss out on the patience and the long suffering. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father and hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. Yes, He's made us His sons. He's given us so many things for us to know what He's done for us, that they should help elevate us out of this physical world and into the spiritual and keep our thoughts there. This world becomes nothing. It's all going to burn up in the end. And, you know, I'm going through it, but I'm not part of it in the sense that this is not where my soul is going to remain. And if my business folds, or if, you know, my job goes away, or if I, you know, lose my retirement or whatever, that's the world I live in. Time and chance happen. You know, you don't want to put all your eggs in this world. You don't want to put any eggs in this world. You want to have them. You want to have all your thoughts tied up top and the things above. Because this world is an evil world. It's been cursed by sin. And sin brings death. And so don't look to this world for anything. But remember, God has designed it that way, though. He designed chance into it. When you play a board game and you got to roll the dice, it's just chance. If you go, you know, if you gamble and you go to the Las Vegas, you don't even have to go. You know what's so sad? You don't even have to go to Vegas anymore to gamble. Mm-hmm. They're opening up, you know, parlors around here, around us, that are, you know, they got these video games machines, and a lot of them went into the bars first, you know, because that's where people go. Now they have realized, well, they've always done this, but women are pretty much, you know, bigger gamblers than men, and they can suck a lot of money. I don't know if they're bigger gamblers, but they know that they can. There's a whole segment of women out there that like to gamble. They're opening up video game parlors that are made like for women to feel comfortable to go into. There's a new one right down the street from us that they're opening up. And it's like pink and nice and fluffy. So, because sometimes women won't feel comfortable going into a bar because it's sort of seedy and, you know, dark, and they don't want to be in there. So they're making video game parlors now that are designed for women. And I can't remember the name of this one, but it's like, it's a feminine name. Stella's, maybe that was it. And, oh good, I'm glad my daughter knew which one it was. So, yes, but there are people going there and they pray to God that they win. And they think, you know, they're praying to Him, you know, help me get, you know, roll the, you know, pull the bar down just right so I can, you know, win the $1 million or whatever. No, those games are games of chance. They're actually, you know, when you understand that there's chance in life, you gotta understand that sometimes chance isn't always in your favor. They stack the odds against you. It's like if you go to Vegas and you play roulette and they got black and red that you can bet on, and you think there's got a 50-50 chance of winning. Well, you really don't, because there's two green squares on the roulette wheel. Now, I'm telling everybody all my knowledge of gambling and stuff, but I don't gamble, but I'm just saying I understand a lot about chance. And a lot of times people take and they try and get the chance odds in their favor. And that's what Vegas does, that's what gamblers do. And they're very good at it. And that's how they take your money, and you never take theirs, because you always end up a loser in the gambling world. But anyway, God has set the world up with chance, but yet He is still interactive with it, because He's dealing inside here. I would rather have God deal with my inner man than change my circumstances. I've said this before 100 times. What do you think is harder for God to do? Open the Red Sea and let the Jews walk through it, or take a wife abusing husband and turn him into a loving, kind, gentle father and loving husband? Which is harder to do? I'll take the turn the man into a gentle, loving husband any day, because those Jews, God can open up the Red Sea and they walk through, and they were still just as disrespectful and uncaring when they came out on the other side as they were on the side before they went through. It's harder for God to take a person and make him nice and make him a new creature than it is for God to do anything else. I'll take God's strength, and it takes all his might to do that. It takes all his might to turn a brat into a kind person. It takes all his strength to turn a hateful person into a loving, kind person. That's where God's strength is today, and I'll take that any day. And you should be thankful for that too. And we all should pray to the Lord that we allow His strength to work within us. Stop praying for God. Yes, we are told to pray for all things. But don't be looking for God to change your circumstances. He's changing you so you can deal with those circumstances. Lastly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm almost done with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He tells us, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." God's working, He renews your inner man. The outward man is going to perish because we live in a sin-cursed world. God doesn't cause the outward man to perish. He's not bringing sickness on you. It just does. "For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants us to look at what He's doing today. But He's working in the unseen. He's working in the spiritual. He's working in the eternal. He's not working in the physical. If God was working in the physical, He would be telling us to look at the physical. He told the Jews to look at the physical in certain stances. He never tells us to do that. We are to look at the inner man. It's the inner man that God is renewing day by day. It's not the outward appearances. Exactly. Turn over to Philippians, last verse here. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul writing, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, whatever state he finds himself in, he can be happy with that. He can be content with that. You find yourself in money, out of money, you find yourself with fame, out of fame, you should be the same person. That's just how it is. And that's what Paul is saying. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We all know Paul's story. There were times when he was hungry, there were times when he wasn't. That's just life. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, that verse gets abused by so many people, but that's telling us no matter what life happens to you, God's strength will take you through it so you can handle it in a joyful, godly, pleasing way. Mm-hmm. That's not saying God's going to give you the strength to win the race. We know that the race doesn't always go to swift. That's telling us that God has given us the strength to happen. God has given us the strength to get through no matter what happens in the race, to accept the results. Exactly. And you don't have to be a sore loser if you lose. You don't have to be a gloating, pig-headed, big-head guy if you win. Mm-hmm. We should be the same and give the glory to God no matter what. And that's what that means. So we'll get back into Ecclesiastes. We're going to wrap it up in the next couple of weeks then. But that's so important to understand. There is chance in life, and get used to it. It's how God designed it.